First, for our own safety, most of us are staying away from family, friends, and coworkers. That distance is contributing to the comeback of the phone call, not video calls or messaging or social media, just two people, one line, talking. Our guest covers technology and talks to people who are using the phone in ways they hadn't in years or ever. Incidentally, I am hosting remotely today, and we had a connection problem, so I'm using the phone in a way that I haven't in years. I'm using it on the air. Cecilia Kang is a technology reporter for the New York Times. Her recent piece is titled, "The Humble Phone Call Has Made a Comeback." Cecilia, thanks a lot for joining us today.
Thanks for having me.
Well, Cecilia, you looked into the numbers here. What does the data show when it comes to how much we're talking on the phone?
Yeah, the data shows a real surge in plain old phone calls. And I spoke to the two biggest carriers of phone calls, the two biggest phone companies, Verizon and AT&T, and they themselves are quite shocked by how much calling we're doing. And I'm just talking plain old calling. I'm not talking about FaceTime or Skype or what have you on video calling. This is just using your wireless phone or your landline phone at home. Verizon says that it has seen about 800 million wireless calls every day, and that's double the number that's typically their peak day figure. The peak day is typically Mother's Day, and that's historically been the busiest day for calling in the year. And Verizon said that every day now they're handling about double the amount of their peak calls. AT&T also said that they're seeing cellular phone calls rise about 35%, and Wi-Fi based calls are about double double from averages in normal times. So it's pretty phenomenal. They were surprised themselves by the big peak in traffic of phone calls.
Now you talked to a few people, Cecilia, for your story on the phone call. Tell us about Alyssa. How did she find herself using her phone recently or differently in recent weeks?
So Alyssa McKenzie, she's 32 years old. She lives in New Canaan, Connecticut, which is pretty close to New York City, about less than an hour away. She is very much a millennial in that she almost never used the phone part of her smartphone. She used the texting portion. She used the apps. But the crisis and being quarantined at home has led her to use the phone much more. She's been calling, for example, her family members who just live down the road, less than 2 miles away, multiple times a day. Her mom, just the other day, she called up and just needed a recipe for a pasta e fagioli soup. And she said, you know, I've got some beans, I've got some tomato paste, I don't know what to do. They're talking about the recipes, and they started talking about her younger brother, then they started talking about their days. They made some observations about what they're watching on TV these days. Next thing they knew, the soup was done. The 2 hours later, 2 hours had passed, and they were still talking. This is somebody who had almost never called her mom on the phone before this.
And I think a lot of people are in that boat now, Cecilia. You also talked to folks at a church, I think it was in Louisiana, and how they've kind of harnessed the system of the phone to keep in touch with the rest of their congregation.
Yeah, it's sort of a back to, you know, back to the past, a throwback situation there where two priests and the deacons there, nine members total at the Church of St. Margaret, Queen of Scotland Church in Albany, Louisiana. They divided their list of 900 parishioners, and they just did something that's been done maybe in the far past. I think I remember doing this when I was young, which is just doing like phone marathon, kind of phone trees, calling and just checking in on congregants. And so of those nine people, each person had 100 people to call in that week. They're going to circulate their list of 100 among those nine members every week. And it was, you know, really touching, actually, to hear some of the stories from the associate priest I spoke to. His name is Brad Doyle. And he said that, you know, at first he would call, and some of the congregants were really taken aback because a lot of us are not used to getting legitimate phone calls anymore. Immediately people thought that he might be a robocall. And so there's a lot of questions of like, who is this? How do you know who I am? What's my number? Say, well, I'm past. I'm Father Brad Doyle at the church. And then they immediately loosen up. And what he found was is that a lot of people were lonely. They were feeling quite isolated. They were very grateful to have a listening ear. So that's just one great example of how community around that church is in a rural area of Louisiana has in some ways come together through the phone. And they're going to keep doing this until the lockdown orders are lifted in Louisiana.
Now, this is amazing. Going back to that big picture data you mentioned, you know, double the usual volume on a Mother's Day. Did this catch telecommunications companies by surprise, ones that had been, you know, trying to ramp up their internet stuff all these years?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. When the first stay-at-home orders took place, Washington State, then I think California, New York, then you saw the rollout across the country, these orders by state, the telecommunications companies, they braced for a surge in internet traffic, and they're really worried about whether their internet networks could handle it, those the broadband last mile into your home. And so they were adding capacity, they had all hands on deck, and definitely internet traffic has increased. There's a lot more internet uses. People learn and work from home. But what they didn't expect is people just getting on the phone to talk, just a plain old talk. And this is for business, this is for social, this is for so many other so many purposes. So they were taken aback. I mean, the good thing is that the phone network is probably one of the most reliable and one of the farthest reaching of all communication services. Still, a lot of homes do not have internet service, about 25 million, but just about every home has, except for a very nominal percentage, has a phone connection, either by cellular or landline, available to them. So this system that's been in place for more than 130 years has been a real lifeline for folks at home and also a real source of comfort. And so the phone companies are, one of the AT&T executives I spoke to, he's an executive vice president, he was saying, voice is the new killer app, which I thought was kind of funny.
We're talking to Cecilia Kang, technology reporter for the New York Times. Her recent piece is titled "The Humble Phone Call Has Made a Comeback." A lot of people want to talk to each other in this time where they can't actually see each other in person, and phone calls are coming back in a really big way. Cecilia, I mean, there's a generation that's grown up looking at the phone as something you do pretty much everything but talk on. Cell phones started as a talking thing, but now there's the apps and texting and everything but talking is the way you use your phone. Are we seeing a new that generation now maybe embrace talking again on the phone?
Maybe. Let's see if this actually sticks. But I was really struck by one person who I spoke to, a student, a junior at the State University of New York at Binghamton. Her name is Emily Lancia. She's 20 years old and she's a junior, as I said. And she had never talked to her friends, her peers, on the phone at all. And she was walking around the campus nature preserve one day. It was just beautiful out. And she was just walking in. And I can see this. I can see why she did this. There's a lot of logic to this. She's walking and she thought, okay, instead of texting and instead of FaceTiming, I'm just going to call up my best friend from high school who I've never, ever talked to on the phone. I text her every day, but I've never have. And she called her up in her contacts. Her friend was a little bit surprised. They had a pleasant 20-minute conversation while she was walking. And it made a lot, you know, she said, yeah, I just realized the phone is so easy. You know, I don't have to do much. And she said, it was also really nice just to hear my friend's voice. So Emily is a good example of somebody who's discovering the phone for the first time in a way. She, the only other people she talks to are her parents, who she used to talk to on the phone about once a week, and she's now talking to them multiple times a day. So if Emily is sort of if she pretends, you know, something, maybe a comeback to the phone of that generation, then it's pretty promising.
And I don't remember if it was her or someone else you talked to made kind of walking dates with people where, you know, wherever they were, they each went for their own walk, but on the phone together at the same time. And I know my wife and her mom have done some of that when the days have been nice enough here. So kind of appointment conversations and going for walks together, even though you're not together.
Yes. And, you know, I've been so surprised. So that was another person who I spoke to. Her name is Grace McClellan. She lives in Charleston, South Carolina. And her best friend is currently staying in Connecticut. And she lives alone, Grace, or at least she's single and she doesn't have family with her, that she's staying in quarantine. And so for her, like, what's really helped her with the feeling of isolation is making these appointment walk and talks. And when she said this, I sort of just had this kind of like, oh my God, me too. Because I've been doing this as well. I don't know if, like, you mentioned your wife. I don't know if you've been doing that as well. I'm sure some of your listeners have as well. I found it really nice. I think many of us are taking walks these days, very long walks when we can safely. And I do this all the time. I talk to my parents just about every day, walking, my siblings, my friends. I never did that before. And Grace was one of many people who I talked to who did this. And I had so many other people reach out after the story was published and saying that this is one of the best things that they've discovered, is just being able to feel like they're walking with a friend just by having them sort of their voices pipe through their earbuds while they're walking. And I thought that was kind of a nice image, because it is about as close as we'll get to being, closest that we will get to being actually physically close to somebody without really being close to somebody physically in a way that violates our quarantine rules.
And Cecilia, it struck me reading your piece on this. Your title is Technology Reporter, and this is technology, but at root, it's such a human story about connection and our psychology and our need for contact with each other. I'm just kind of thinking out loud there. What do you think about that?
Yeah, well, I really liked the story. I love writing this story because it is so human. I think also at this time, the story resonated with folks because not only do they see themselves in some of the people who I interviewed, but I think we're all hungry for some silver lining stories and some of these stories that make us feel like we're closer together than alone and further apart. And I thought this was a nice example of where technology, telecommunications can bring us close together, even in this really extraordinary time.
Cecilia, thank you so much for sharing this with us today. I appreciate it.
Well, thank you for having me.
Cecilia Kang is a New York Times technology reporter. We talked to her about her recent piece on the comeback of the phone call.